So I hope and I'm praying that you are enjoying your reading of the Word of God, you know, wherever it may be, as you open up the Word of God this year, as you go through the Scriptures. I just recently started the book of Genesis, and I'm reading through, and I wanted to bring a word to you out of Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 5. Title of the message is God's Long Suffering, as I see it in the Scripture and as it was born out here. So I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 5 in verse 1 and read through a little bit and make a few observations, and then we'll move on. Genesis chapter 5 verse 1 reads, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. The day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. This account has to do with the third son of Adam and Eve, Seth, not the first son who was Cain, not the second who was Abel, because Cain murdered Abel." We all familiar with that, very much so. "This account has to do with Adam living 130 years and begat Seth," the scripture says. Verse 4 says, "After he begat Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." And so here we're dealing with the genealogy of Adam, and it goes down through his son Seth. Now, what's interesting to me as I was reading this scripture, when you go down through it and chapter 5 goes all the way down, down in verse 16, verse 17, 18, 19, it goes all the way down till you get to Lamech, Methuselah, and Lamech was the father of Noah. And it's actually 10 generations. So let me see if I can put this chart up here, so you can see these 10 generations. So here's Adam. Adam gave birth to Seth. And Seth gave birth to Enoch, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech. And then you get to Noah. 10 generations. Adam was actually alive when Noah's grandfather was born. They say, yeah, right here. So Adam lived up. Adam saw his great, 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 great grandchildren, you see. So Adam would have seen, that would have been a lot of people who would run up to Adam and say, "Hey, what was it like? You know, God made you, if you open your eyes," and all this business, right? So, but what's interesting is that there are 10 generations, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So Noah is the 10th generation from Adam. And what we see in the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read this: "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So in 10 generations, from Adam to Noah, wickedness spread. I mean, it filled the earth, it covered the earth. And we know just from Adam's account, because Adam's firstborn son murdered his secondborn son. And so the fall of man was complete. The depravity, the wickedness, the darkness, the evil that took over man's heart was complete. And in 10 generations, it was so bad that the Lord said in Genesis 6:6, the Lord said, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." And so we see that God's going to bring the judgment upon the earth, a worldwide judgment. eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So the first judgment that God brought upon the earth, God brought it, but he also initiated grace so that the judgment wouldn't be a total annihilation of the people, right? After the flood, you will remember that God established a covenant. It was called the Noahic covenant. And the Noahic covenant, the sign of that covenant, God said, I put my bow in the sky to be a remembrance that I will never again destroy all life from the earth through a flood. That was part of the Noahic covenant, right? He put the covenant was the rainbow. Now, we were careful to note that that covenant, that rainbow, the covenant didn't promise that there would never be worldwide destruction again, just that there would never be worldwide destruction through a flood. Okay? Now, what's interesting is that, let me put this back up so you can see. That then from Noah down to Abraham, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So actually from Noah, starting with Shem, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Another 10 generations, and you have what? Well, remember in the life of Abraham that the first thing we see after God tells him to go down, that God's going to establish a covenant with him, Abraham, because of a famine, he goes down into Egypt. And when he's down there, he says, you know what, these men are going to kill me because my wife is so beautiful. I'm going to lie and say she's my sister. That gives us an indication of the type of world that Abraham was living in. So for another 10 generations, the world was wicked again. And because we know of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was possibly even more wicked than the first, than the antediluvians, than you know, those who lived before God destroyed the world with a flood. So 10 generations in, God destroyed all life, and then another 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. We see almost like a repeat of what happened in the first 10 generations. Because at the next 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, you remember there was the judgment. It's just that it wasn't worldwide. It was the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we see in the life of the 10th generation person, in Noah's life there was a judgment. Then there was a judgment in Abraham's life, because of the wickedness that man had brought upon the earth. We also see that as God, as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, so did Abraham. Because God came to Abraham and said, you remember Genesis chapter 12, he said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. So what's so beautiful about this is that God did not destroy the whole world, even though he could have, even though that's what the world deserves. But God doesn't always give us what we deserve. I'll be glad. I mean, Noah was righteous and walked with God because God revealed himself to Noah, right? Abraham had righteousness imputed to him, just like Noah had righteousness imputed to him by the God who had grace upon his life. And so God, in Noah's time, shed grace upon him, and Abraham's time, 10 generations later, shed grace upon him, and instead of destroying all the nations of the earth, as God did in Noah's time, God said to Abram, he says, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And here's the whole world implication. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God destroyed all the families of the earth, even though he gave grace to Noah in the flood. But in Abraham, instead of destroying all the nations of the earth, God said, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. Right? Now, even though that was the case, we do see that there was a limited judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah. why this has implication to us today is that Sodom and Gomorrah, that judgment, actually pointed to the final judgment that's coming. Okay? Because God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah by fire and brimstone. And God said, I'll never destroy the earth again with the flood. But he never said anything about fire. And we know that the way the final judgment is going to end how? In fire. In fire. So, the Old Testament judgment points to the final judgment that is coming. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4 says, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. That's judgment coming. Reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. The very scriptures we've been talking about, Peter mentions it in 2 Peter. But saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward will live ungodly. Not only did Peter mention it, but, and listen, have no fear. I'm going to get to the good part. Say, Pastor preaching on judgment today. What is the earth going on? Well, because judgment is coming, and that's what makes the good news so good.
Amen.
Jesus said that the world was condemned already. The world was condemned. If Jesus never came, the world was already condemned. So, this is what makes the good news so good, church, is that we are delivered from judgment. Jesus said the same things about Noah's flood. He said in Matthew 24, 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then in Luke chapter 17, Jesus said to his disciples, the days will come when you would desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, look here, look there. Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning flashes out of one part of heaven, under heaven, shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So these judgments, we see that with the wickedness of man as it grew and grew and grew, that God inevitably would bring judgment on that wickedness. So we see even in the flood that it was complete. We see that with the Sodom and Gomorrah, it was limited to those five cities, right? And then God spared one city, Zoar, because Lot couldn't get in his mind to run up into the mountains to flee. He said, just spare this city, I'm going to run there. And the angel listened to him. But the destruction came because of the wickedness. As it was then, so it is now. But I want to get to the long-suffering part. It's going to be the shortest, but it's going to be that which, you know, we know so much is the heart of God. And the judgment to come makes the long-suffering of God, the grace of God, so beautiful. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, we read, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers, those people who mock and scorn or insult, those who make light of or ridicule, Peter said, those people will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where's the promise of his coming? And we've been talking about the coming of Jesus since we got saved, amen? And some people say, well, where is he? Don't see any coming. We're living in the last days. I don't see. Well, Peter addresses that. And he said, for this, they willingly, let's see, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And I've heard people say that. I've heard people mock. My wife just told me about a man yesterday who was in the ministry for 30 years, a Christian rapper, who all of a sudden said, you know, he told God, if, you know, I just don't believe you. I don't believe this stuff anymore. He just said, I'm done with it. And he walked away from Christianity. And I thought to myself, well, John, the apostle talked about people like that, that who were among us and left because they were never of us. Mm-hmm. They were among us, but they were never of us. Right? But that's not the end of that, man. We don't know. I pray for that. Who knows whether he has to walk away to find out that he really wasn't saved in order to truly get saved, in order to truly get born again. So it's not over. I don't believe. God knows. But let me go on verse 5, 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. That's speaking of Noah's flood. Then he goes on and he says this, but the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So this world was once destroyed through a flood, but Peter says that it's being preserved now for judgment by fire. For judgment by fire upon the ungodly. But then Peter says this in verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing. Do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Some people say, why is it taking so long? Jesus, where you at? What? You say you're coming, where are you? Well, we say that because we're affected by time. We're creatures of time. God is not affected by time. He stands outside of time. He created time. 1,000 years is as one day with him. It's like a watch in the night, quoting Psalm 90, verse 4, where he says 1,000 years is nothing to God. He's not keeping track of time as we would keep track of time. He said, God, you got to come now. And every generation, people said, he's coming to our generation. He's coming now. And those people went on to be with the Lord. Right? But Peter says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, God cannot lie. He said, Jesus is coming, and Jesus is coming, church. And this is one thing we know. We don't know when he's coming, but we know we're one day closer to it than we were yesterday. That's what we do know. Hello. Oh, yes, church, he's coming. And Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Some people say, God's delaying. Why is he delaying? And Peter says this. You want to know why God is delaying? You want to know why he hasn't come yet? Because the Lord is long-suffering. He's merciful. He's kind. Micah 7:18 says, he delights in mercy. Peter said that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. When he waits, and he waits long. See, he's waiting in a very long context, right? Some people say, why is he taking so long? But I bet you this. I bet you glad that he waited at least till you got to the kingdom. Hey, I sure am glad that he didn't come in 1982, because I wasn't saved then. Amen. 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 Look, there are people who got saved last year saying, Lord, I'm sure I'm glad you didn't come in 2020. I'm sure I'm glad. God, thank you. Why? Because the Lord, he is long of the Jewish people, God is having grace, and his grace is drawing people to himself. Peter even said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, God waited to bring that judgment. He's just not willy-nilly. God doesn't just fly off the handle and say, I can't stand what you just... He's not like that. No, he's long-suffering. And he waited and waited and waited and waited before, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were being saved through water. Not only in Noah's case, but in Genesis 19, when God sent the angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, you remember what the Bible says? After it was destroyed, this is what the scripture says, and God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. Lot was not delivered because of his own righteousness. Lot was delivered because a man named Abraham had a relationship with God, and God delivered Lot because of Abraham. Amen. There's some people God wants to deliver today because of your relationship. Hey, glory to God. There's some people that God wants to touch and God wants to have mercy on because of you. Because of me. Living here right now. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. And he's long-suffering. And some of those people you're going to meet tomorrow. Some of those people you live around. Some of those people you've been going to work for years. Hey, look here. Some of the people, I'm going to run up in their house tomorrow, clean their carpet, and I'm going to be looking. Jesus, this is it? Hey, lady, what do you want me to do? Those people all around us. Amen. And so, listen to Genesis 19. When the morning dawned, remember, the angels come into Sodom. They strike the men with blindness who are trying to rape, trying to do all this stuff to Lot and his family. They pull Lot into the house. They say, quick, you got anybody here? Get them out of this city because we are going to destroy it. You know what? Lot goes out and says to his sons, hey, get out of here. The Lord's about to destroy the place. They laughed. Said, yeah, ha ha. They mocked what we just read in 2 Peter. They mocked. They insulted him like, yeah, right. Yeah, God ain't gonna do nothing, man. What are you talking about? But the angels went on and said, hey, Lot, get your family together and get them out of here. That was at night. The next morning, the scripture says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Now, I'm telling you, look, Lot, I don't know what type of brother that was, but he wasn't the type of kid to me. Look here, if two angels come up in my house, strike people blind outside with blindness, and turn to me and say, we get ready to destroy this place, I say, you ain't got to tell me twice. No, I got no pack, no luggage. No. Y'all see what they out, honey. The feet don't fail me now. Baby, I hope you can run because we about to get it. I'm gone. I'm out of here. No, don't play with that. What is Lot doing? The scripture says that they said to Lot, hurry up. Come on, Lot. Lest you be consumed in punishment of the city. Now watch this. Verse 16. Genesis 19:16. And while they lingered, while Lot lingered, he's just lollygagging. He's taking his time. While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. Oh, God. Men, look, you know why Lot got saved? It wasn't because of Lot. It's because of God took hold of his hand. You know how we got saved? It wasn't because of us. Because Jesus came, took hold of our hand, said, I'm going to take your life. Hey, I'm going to says this, the Lord being merciful to him. Lord being merciful to him. And this is what Peter is talking about. This is why the Lord hasn't come back yet. This is why, you know, sometimes we live the life we live in, we say, you say, I'm tired of living this. I'm not. And it gets to be all about us. All about, I'm tired and I'm this, that, and I get it. And he knows about that. He knows we're tired and all of that. But you know what? He's doing something bigger. He's doing something bigger. And the scripture says that the Lord being merciful to them, and brought him and his family and set them outside the city. Because the angel said, I can't do anything until you are gone. Right? Every day we wake up is another day of God's long suffering as his grace continues to draw people to Christ. That's all I wanted to share. Man. So that we're thankful. So that every day we realize we are literally experiencing the grace and long suffering of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you then, Lord, for your word. We thank you for divine truth. We thank you for your grace. Oh God, that is over our lives, Lord, in degrees and ways, Lord, that have yet to been revealed to us, oh my God. We don't know. We have not yet perceived the full extent, Lord, comprehended with all the saints. What is the length and the width, the height and the depth, Lord, to know the love of God that passes knowledge, oh my God. Father, I pray, Lord, that it will be revealed to us. I pray that the eyes of our heart will be open up, oh God, that our understanding would be enlightened. Father, that we, oh God, would realize that we would comprehend the grace of God that so, Lord, permeates, Lord, every day of our existence. Father, that would then, oh God, capture, Lord, our fervor, capture, oh God, Lord, our heart and warm our hearts, oh God, to give ourselves fully to your purpose and that which you're doing in this hour. Lord, that we would appreciate, be full of gratitude, be full of thanksgiving, oh God, for who you are and all that you've done, all that you're doing, by the grace of God through Christ our Lord. So I ask your blessing, Lord, upon your people. Father, as we go this week, Lord, that we would be strengthened, Lord, by the mind of the Lord to do your will and to see, oh God, the thoughts and intents of your hearts accomplished in our families, in our homes, Lord, in the workplace, in the marketplace, wherever we go. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Melody.
Amen.
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 Amen. Great work. I love it. Thank you. Some feedback. I don't know where it's coming from. Please go right ahead.
Could you email me that color chart? It's very interesting.
Certainly. Certainly.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that.
Sure. Anybody else want it?
Me too. Bingo.
Sure, yeah. Send it to everyone.
Y'all all want it, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
So, Pastor Pat, this is the link and the password that'll be going with us all the way through February. Is that right?
Just next week, because we're supposed to be back. We're supposed to be back February 6th.
Okay.
However, you know that's tentative because they're saying that Omicron's supposed to max out this week, but we'll see. So if it's still really crazy, we could extend it, but so far we're supposed to be back February 6th.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Any more testimonies or anything we need to hear?
Well, I just want to catch on to Kwaku while I've got him on here. I'm expecting to make a trip to Ghana this year. I'm working with now a mission agency that is in Ghana, so I think I'll be going there this year.
Okay. What time?
What time? I don't know yet.
What time? Okay.
Maybe in 2 months. I don't know.
Okay. All right. We keep in touch then, and then we see what we can do.
Yeah, I hope. I hope to see you soon. I hope it's not too long before you come around.
Yeah, it won't be too long.
Okay, good.
All right.
Amen. Amen. Is there anything else? Everybody good?
Yep.
All right.
That's good.
God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.